worked out at least 3 days a week. But it didn't happen. So this year, I said, I will try to drive past the gym at least once a week. And I'm sure to keep that promise. Well, whatever the goals are that we have for this year, whatever it is, then I hope that you do keep that and you are able to fulfill that. Now, here is a list, just for your interest, of the 10 top things that people decide to commit to in a new year, all right? Number one is spend more time with family and friends. Number two is to fit in some sort of fitness program. Number three is to lose weight. Number four, quit smoking. Number five, enjoy life more. Number six, quit drinking. Number seven, get out of debt. Number eight, learn something new. Number nine, help others. And number 10, get organized. Which was kind of interesting because there was nothing, well, in terms of getting out of debt, I guess, but nothing about saving money, just trying to get out of the debt we already have. But those are just some of the things that came up as the top 10 things that people decide to commit to in a new year. And so no matter whatever it is that you're deciding to commit to, whether it's spending more time with family, or trying to travel more, or save more money, or get organized, whatever it is, I want to offer this morning four things that I want to challenge you to commit to this year, okay? Four things that I want to challenge you to commit to, not only this year, but starting this year if you haven't already done so, and to continue throughout the rest of your life, because I guarantee that if you do these things, it won't only just make this year a wonderful year, but it will make the rest of your life wonderful in terms of staying on track with these commitments. All right? So the first thing that I want to challenge you to do is to commit to learning from your failures and celebrating your accomplishments. Commit to learning from your failures and celebrating your accomplishments. The first Christian leader, one of the first Christian leaders, Paul, gave this advice in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, where he says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." As we reflect on the past year that we've already gone through, I'm sure some of you might say, you know, there have been things that I failed to do, or some things that I messed up, or some people that I failed or didn't carry through with my word, or some things that I just really regret doing. Whatever those things may be, I want to challenge you to not just continually dwell on them, but to learn from those things and to move on. To learn from your past failures, to learn from the things that we failed at, to learn from the things that we regret, and to move on. And sometimes people will just say, oh, we'll just ignore it and pretend it didn't happen. Now, I'm not telling you to ignore it. I'm telling you to learn from it so that it doesn't happen again and to move on. And instead of just focusing on all of those negative things, focus on your accomplishments. Focus on the good things that happened this past year. Focus on all the good things that you have to celebrate and all of the things that you have to give God thanks for. You know, many times, many of us can continue to focus on the past, whether it was this past year or many years ago in your life, and we can focus on that and forget about the things that God is doing now. In the book of Isaiah, the scripture says, "See, I am doing a new thing," God says. "Now it springs up. Do you perceive it?" You see, the more that we focus on the past and the more we dwell on what could have been and what should have been but didn't, the more we miss what God is doing now in our lives. Because we're holding on to all the past mistakes, we're holding on to all the things that didn't work out, or to all of the things that we failed at, or to all of the things that crumbled down, and that we miss what God is doing now. And so this year, I challenge you to let go of those things from the past, to let go of those past failures, to let go of those past mistakes, to let go of those things, and to focus on what God is doing now. And to celebrate also the good didn't do, the things that people didn't do it for us. But let's choose to give God thanks for the things that we do have, for the things that He has done, for the things that were done, and not just on those negative things. And so this year, the first thing I challenge you to do is to commit from learning from your past failures and celebrating your accomplishments. Amen? Well, the second thing I want to challenge you to do, and this is something that most of us probably struggle with from time to time, but the second thing is very important. Commit to giving up your grudges and forgive others. Commit to giving up your grudges and forgive others. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive each other whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." You see, in this passage of Scripture, what God is saying and what we need to understand is we are to forgive one another. We are to forgive just as how the Lord has forgiven us. Now, when I use the word grudge, just to give you a definition of what a grudge is, okay? A grudge is a deep, ongoing resentment that we cultivate in our hearts against someone. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit that leads to unforgiving attitudes and unforgiving actions. Harboring a grudge is about nursing a dislike for others. And what we need to understand is that when we hold a grudge and when we hold unforgiveness against someone else, we're basically internally destroying ourselves. You see, when we choose not to forgive others, when we continue to hold something against someone else, we not only hurt the other person, but more times than not, we end up hurting ourselves even more. You see, when we choose not to forgive, it's like taking a bottle of Coke and shaking it. And we're just building up that tension. We're building up that pressure that eventually all that hate, all that anger, all of that resentment, all of that will eventually explode. And so when we choose to hold in those, we're actually doing ourselves a disservice by not forgiving and letting go of the hurt that has been caused. You see, grudges destroy marriages. They break up families. They ruin friendships. They destroy us slowly. And today, if you are holding a grudge against someone else, today on this first Sunday of 2018, I challenge you to give it up. I challenge you to let it go. I challenge you to say with God's help, "I will forgive that person. I will forgive those people. I will do that because I know that I've just been holding on to this for far too long." In the book that Max Lucado, a famous Christian author, wrote, he speaks of this. He says, "Unforgiving servants always end up in prison. Prisons of anger, guilt, and depression." And you see, God does not want us to be prisoners of our past. He came so that we could be set free, so that we no longer have to live in the bondage of sin, but also in the bondage of the guilt and the shame that our past brings with it. We no longer have to hold on to all of those things, but today is the day that we can give up those grievances and we can let them go. You see, when God talks about forgiving other people, He's not talking about forgetting and ignoring the things that they have done. Because the bottom line is, let's be real, there are some people who have just hurt us very deeply. There are some people who have just hurt us, and some of them have done it intentionally. Jesus offers us. It's amazing to think that countless times we fail him, countless times we mess up, but he stands ready to forgive. In his word, he says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And you see, when God forgives, he forgives and he forgets. He forgives and he casts it away as far as possible. He does not hold it against us. And if God, who is the creator of this universe, who has created us and who's perfect in all of his ways, if he is able to forgive, then maybe we need to challenge ourselves to forgive as well. Who is it in your life that you need to say, God, I need to let go of this. I need to stop talking about how much this person has hurt me. I need to stop saying all of these bad things because they've done this to me. But I need to let it go. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a child or a sibling. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's a husband or wife. Whoever it is, I challenge you this year to let it go. You know, some of us have been holding on to things for many, many years. We have something against someone for many years. Maybe it's even a family member. We don't talk to that person. We don't even want to be around them. We don't go to family functions because of it. But you know, the funny thing is that most of the times, we probably can't even remember what caused that argument or what caused us to feel that way. Isn't it time we let go? This year, I challenge you, give up your grudges and forgive others. Maybe that might just mean asking God to help you in your own life to forgive them. Maybe it means you going to them and actually saying, listen, this has been going on for far too long. Let's decide to let it go. Let's decide to forgive each other and move on so you no longer have to live in that shame. And so this year I challenge you to commit to giving up your grudges and forgive others. The third thing that I want to challenge you to do is to commit from turning away from your sin and instead choose to live a life of holiness. Commit to turning away from your sin and choose to live a life of holiness. A young man stated, I read a book about the American Civil War. He read this book, apparently one of the leading Confederate generals was called General Pettigrew. He said that I discovered after the war was over, the slaves had been set free. But many slaves, even though who were free, decided to stay with their former master and continue to act and do as they did as slaves. They continued to live as slaves even though they were set free. You know, when I read this, I thought how true it is that oftentimes as Christians, we are set free. We're set free from the bondage of sin. We're set free from the chains of guilt and shame from our past. We're set free, but how often do we choose to continue to live as slaves to our old master, sin? How often do we continue in the same patterns that we have? How often do we continue to let sin rule and reign over us when God has said, I have set you free from it, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. We no longer have to live in the bondage of our past. We no longer have to continue to live as slaves to sin because God has set us free. And so this year, I challenge you to turn away from your sin and instead live a life of holiness. You see, when many of us come to know the Lord, there are certain things that we will easily give up. There are certain habits, there are certain attitudes that we will give up right away. But there are still things in our life that over time we hold on to. Habits that we had before we became Christian that maybe now we're still holding on to. And you know, the scary thing is that sometimes we just learn to live with it. Sometimes we just learn to say, well, that's just how I've always been, so I'm going to continue to do it. And what do I mean? Well, maybe you have the habit of swearing. And before you were a Christian, you kept swearing. And now that you become a Christian, you're like, well, it's not really a He wants us to commit from turning away from sin. Do you know what repentance means? What it actually means to repent? Repentance goes much deeper than asking for forgiveness. You see, I can ask you for forgiveness, and you can forgive me, but I can go and I can do it again. But when I truly come asking and repenting of my sins, what I'm actually saying is that I don't want anything to do with that anymore. That I'm actually choosing to look at my sin and to turn away from it. That's what repentance truly means. To go in the opposite direction, actually. To turn away. And this year I challenge you to look and to search the things in your life that are holding you back, because there are things in our life that are holding us back from a deeper and more intimate relationship with God. What is it that God wants you to turn away from? What is it that you need to give up? Maybe it's gossiping on the phone. Maybe it's going places that you shouldn't be going. Maybe it's lying or cheating or whatever it may be. Whatever that is, choose to turn away and live a life that is holy. A life that is pleasing to God. You see, God is holy. And His standards are so high that there is no way that we could get to that standard in this life. But we can constantly aim to be holy as He is holy. Constantly working on ourselves and asking Him to help us. He says that we no longer have to live as slaves to sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give into its lustful desires, for we are no longer slaves to sin." We are no longer slaves to sin. The Lord tells us that we can turn away, that we no longer have to live in that way. And so I ask you, will you commit this year to turning away from your sin and instead choose to live a life of holiness? Now that doesn't mean that we will never sin. That doesn't mean that we're never going to mess up. But that means that we intentionally make a decision that we are not purposely going to do it. That we make a decision that we are going to try our best. He understands that we fail. He understands that we mess up. He understands that we stumble and that we may fall. But when we choose to intentionally do something, we have better results. And so I challenge you this year to turn away and to live a life of holiness. The fourth and the last thing that I want to challenge you to do today is to commit to acknowledging Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Commit to acknowledging Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You see, oftentimes in life we plan out all of these things. We decide that we're going to do this or set goals to do that. But very, very regularly, we forget about how important our spiritual lives are. How important our spiritual lives are to make goals to go deeper, to make goals to read our Bible more, to make goals to pray more often, to spend more time with the Lord, to make more time for Bible studies or small groups or whatever it is. That should be our priority. Because you see, at the end of the day, if we don't have Jesus, we don't have anything. At the end of the day, if we don't have a relationship with God, then we don't have anything. It is because of Him that we have meaning, that we have purpose, that we have reason to wake up in the morning. It's because of God that we have hope, that we have a trust, that we have all that we need and more. And so I want to consider, to challenge you to consider, do I know this God? Do I have a personal and intimate relationship with Him? Because the truth is, my friends, that we can be coming to church for years. We can be coming to church and sitting in these pews week after week after week, but that does not assure us that we will go to heaven. The only way that we can go to heaven is by fully committing our lives to Jesus Christ. By asking Him to come into our lives. The Bible says that He is the way. That there is no other way to the Father except through the Son. We can come and sit in these pews, but if we have not made a personal decision, then we're just kidding ourselves. If we have not made that personal decision, you see, you cannot get to heaven on your grandmother's faith. You cannot get to heaven on your husband or wife's faith. You can't get to heaven on someone else's faith because they go to church and that they're praying for you and you come once in a while. But we only have the truth is that we're living in vain. You see, life is short and you know this. We turn on the TV and we see all of these tragic stories constantly in the news. We listen to the radio and we hear about this accident or this tragedy that happened or this terrorist attack or this bombing or this massive earthquake or this hurricane or whatever it is. And the truth is that tomorrow is not guaranteed. In actual fact, the next hour for us is not guaranteed. The only thing for sure in this life, the only certainty that we have is that Jesus Christ will not fail us. God can do all things, as we sang, except fail. He cannot fail. He will not fail. Are you trusting in Him? You know that hymn, it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. We can take Him at His word. Because God is not a man that He should lie. His word will not return void, but He is faithful. And He asks us to trust in Him. You see, Christianity is not about religion. Religion is about a set of rules, about do's or don'ts, or do this or do that, and all these rituals. But Christianity is about relationship. It's about having that personal and intimate relationship with God, our Savior, with God, our Creator, with God, our Sustainer, with the One who gives us meaning to go on. Do you have that personal relationship? And maybe you do have, and I hope that you do. But maybe for you, the question is, does that relationship need to be renewed? Maybe for years you haven't been continuing that relationship. Maybe you've just come to church once in a while and you don't really pray or read your Bible, and maybe this year you need to say, God, I want to renew that relationship. I want to rekindle that relationship with You. I want to love You the way I used to. I want to know You more. I want to feel Your presence in my life. I want to hear from You more regularly. Maybe that's what you need to say today. That God, all of these things have happened in my life, but I choose to dedicate myself to You. I choose to know You more and more in a deeper and deeper way. And unfortunately, in our world, many people feel they don't have a need for God. And unfortunately, many people feel that it's only when things go wrong that they really need to call upon God. But God wants us to have a relationship. As much as we are on the mountaintop, He wants that relationship in the valley. He wants us to be the one that goes to Him first for each and everything in our life. Because it's in Christ that we have all that we need. There's a poem that says, in Christ we have a love that can never be fathomed, a life that can never die, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a peace that can never be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, a purity that can never be defiled, a beauty that can never be marred, a wisdom that can never be baffled, and resources that can never be exhausted. In Christ we have all that we need and more. Are you trusting in Him? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The Bible is clear, it's simple, that all we need to do is to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that He is Lord and we will be saved. That is all that we need to do. Are you committing yourself to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are you asking Him to come into your life? Because Acts chapter 4 verse 12 tells us simply, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved. It is only in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's all that God asks us to do, to believe and to trust in Him, to commit our ways in Him. And when we are truly trusting in Him, it's the best place to be, in the will of God, right in His will. And so, my friends, this year, I challenge you life of holiness. And lastly, commit to acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And if you are not yet doing those things, I challenge you to do that. If you are not yet trusting in Jesus, I challenge you to make today the day that you trust in Him. Or today the day that you say, Lord, I've been far away. I haven't been as studious and steadfast in my faith, but today I choose to recommit myself to you anew and afresh. May these commitments truly be ones that you make this year and for the rest of your life. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, indeed we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Father, for this new year that you have given us and allowed us to see. And we pray that, Lord, whatever may lie ahead in this year, that God, you would go before us. We thank you for your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, we don't know what tomorrow may hold, but we thank you that we know the one who holds tomorrow. And so God, may you continue to be with us and help us to commit to these things and to so many others. But Father, we pray that you would help us to forget about our past failures and all of the guilt and the shame that comes with it, to learn from those things and to move on, and to look and to focus on the new and the good things that you are doing this year and doing now, God. We pray, Father, that you would help us to forgive our brothers and sisters, to give up all of the grievances and the grudges that we're holding on to and holding back. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to help us to release it into your hands, to let go, oh God, and to help us to truly forgive as you have forgiven us. We pray, Father, that you would help us to turn away from the sinful ways and the bad habits that we have, the things that we know that are not pleasing to you, God. And we pray that you would help us through your Holy Spirit, that you empower us to change and to live lives that are holy and pleasing to you, O God. Remove the obstacles that are holding us back from a deeper relationship. And God, above all, we pray that you would help us to truly put our faith and trust in you, or to renew that relationship that we once had. And we pray that, Father, you would help us to continue to put you first, to continue to make you a priority in all that we do each and every day of our lives, and that, God, you would help us in all of our ways. We thank you, O God, and we commit this new year into your hands. We pray for your blessing upon it, and we pray that, God, you would continue to walk with us, and that you would help us as we go through day by day. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
I'll ask our worship team and musicians to come up. And as they lead us in this closing song, I want to invite you, I don't know how you do things here, but if you could just go with the flow here, I want to ask you if you would like to, on this first Sunday of this new year, come and pray at these altars, kneeling or standing.